Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. This week, we're going to get down in the mud, get all dirty, and talk about all of the reasons why your home is not getting organized to the level that you want and as quick as you want. First of all, if you are listening to this as it's released, which is July 2016, I just want to say it's July. And let me just tell you, the end of July and the beginning of August have to be the least productive time of the year, like of all time. Even though I'm a super productive person, this is my least productive time of the year. And there are a lot of reasons for this, good reasons for this. First of all, there's no school schedule. So even if you don't have school kids, the school year schedule does affect you. It affects the traffic flow in your town. It affects the hours that different establishments are open. It affects who's at the grocery stores and when. It affects who's working at different establishments. You have a lot of teenagers working there instead of stay-at-home moms. They're just working while the kids are in the school year. And so the ebb and flow of the school year does affect everyone, whether or not you have kids. So when you get to the middle of July and the beginning of August, summer has fully set in. Any semblance of some kind of a routine that I usually try to establish with my kids in June has completely fallen apart by the middle of July. We go on vacation at the very end of July, as do many families. And just the general orderliness of the day and the house and society just tends to kind of break down. And this can be a good thing. These are the nights where I go out to pull a few weeds and I end up talking to neighbors for 3 hours instead of getting productive stuff done. Or my kids will come in and they'll snuggle in bed with me in the morning, which would never normally happen, you know? And that's cherished time that I'll never have again. Or my daughter will say, let's go to the pool, and I'll drop everything, grab a book, and go to the pool for the day. And we need this time. Like, I am terrible about taking time to recharge and relax, like, is my least favorite activity to do. I hate relaxing. I'm a terrible relaxer. But we do need to do it. Like, we do need to rest and recharge and rejuvenate. And a lot of people do that in the July and August times. So that's one thing. If you're listening to this in the summer, it is really hard to be motivated when it's 92 degrees and sunny outside. That's why I'll never move to Florida, because I don't know how anybody in Florida gets anything done. It's like living in paradise. Why would you like do anything? The other thing I want to say is that home organization is a marathon. It is a lifelong journey. It's not a sprint. It's not something you're going to check off your list. It's something you're going to do for the rest of your life. Now, don't get depressed. I don't mean for the rest of your life you're going to be trudging through piles that are waist high in your house. No. But the more organized you get, the more organized you realize you could be. And you keep refining and taking your organization to the next level and becoming more and more organized over time. So for myself personally, the first time that I organized our house in the 40-day challenge that I created, all I did was get rid of everything that we didn't need. I mean, 50% of this house left through a garage sale and donations, but it was all stuff that we weren't using. The second year I did the 40 weeks one whole house challenge, that time I went through and actually put in some organizational systems. Like, I really didn't do any organizing the first time. I've taken all those posts down off the blog because really the only difference in the spaces was that there was less stuff. There wasn't any new wow organizational idea. And for the most part, I don't really have wow organizational ideas. Like, there are organizers that I use, and I love certain kinds of bookshelves and drawer organizers and a Sunday basket for sure. But for the most part, whatever you have around the house will work, and you don't need to go out and spend a lot of money. The third time I went through my very own challenge, and I'm a professional organizer, and it took me 3 times, and I really haven't met anybody who it hasn't taken 3 times. That's when I went through and I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to make that look cuter, or I'm going to go ahead and buy that accessory to make that organization system really top notch, or I'm going to go ahead and declutter that thing that I thought I needed the last two times, but I really don't. The biggest thing that happened the third time I went through my own challenge was I realized that I had stopped looking for things. Do you know that the average American spends 55 minutes a day looking for things? Looking for things. So when you can stop looking for things, it is going to free up so much of your time. And I'm about to start a productivity series on the podcast, which I'll share with you at the very end of this podcast. But one of the things that helps you be more productive, why organization helps you be more productive, is because when your space is organized, some of the time wasters naturally go away. So when you know where everything is and you don't have to look for anything, you gain an hour a day. And I didn't really realize that's what happened, but it is what happened. I almost never look for anything. So the whole goal of listening to Organize 365 podcast, of joining the 40 Weeks One Whole House Challenge, or doing the 100 Day Home Organization Challenge, is just to keep you moving forward towards living a more organized life. Not that you would sign up for the 100 Day Challenge and at the end of 100 days be done organizing. Like, that is an unrealistic expectation. But I want to address, since I've finished the rough draft of my book, it's off to the editor, I want to address how the four different phases of life that you find yourself in can affect this down in the mud, dirty, like just feeling like you're in quicksand and you're not making any progress. And it does happen. Like, there are stages in your life where it doesn't matter how many podcasts you listen to, how many blog posts you read, how many books you read. It doesn't matter what you do. For example, one of the professional organizers on my team this spring had to cancel a lot of home organization sessions that we had planned. So I went in her place because her kids were literally sick, like all spring. It was ridiculous. They had fever after fever, like, and nobody could figure out where it was coming from. And she was so frustrated because we had a booked calendar. She loves to organize. She wants to contribute to her family financially. And yet every time she turned around, another kid would have a fever. And it was driving her crazy. There's nothing we could do about that, right? I mean, if you have kids in grade school and they have a fever, like, you have to stay home with them. What other option do you have? And we just have to realize that this is life. Life is not perfect, and we could keep moving forward on our organizational journey, but we might not make the progress as quickly as we want. So if you haven't done this yet, I really, really encourage you to go around your house, open up all the drawers, all the cabinets, all the closets, and take pictures of everything. Now, I know some people will tell me that they don't want to take pictures because they're so embarrassed. And if anybody ever saw the pictures of their home, they would be so embarrassed. And so that's why they don't even take the before pictures. But I know this to be true. You are making progress. I know you're making progress, but you can't see it because everything you're looking at in your home is still disorganized. You don't see the organized spaces because the disorganized ones are screaming at you and driving you absolutely crazy. Okay, so this is why the 40 Weeks One Whole House Challenge is great, because it goes through the 40 areas of a home, like a typical middle-aged woman American home. If you follow the 40 Weeks One Whole House Challenge, you'll make progress. But when I designed the 100 Day Challenge, I really was focused on, okay, if I was going to professionally organize someone's home but not be there, how could I organize this challenge in a way that would cumulatively make an impact and move them forward faster in getting organized? And so the 100 Day Challenge is organized in a specific way, and you could stop and start it at any time. So the first 21 days are all about organizing your kitchen. And by the time you get done with your 21st day, you've organized every single thing related to the kitchen. Drawers, cabinets, recipes, spices, Tupperware drawer, all of it. I've addressed all of it in these daily challenges. Now, if you do, let's say you do day 1, 2, and 3 on week 1, and then you do days 4, 5, and 6 on week 2. Like, let's say it takes you 2.5 months to get through the 21 days. That's okay. At the end of that, when you check off the box for the 21st day, you will walk into the kitchen and go, oh my gosh, it's organized. Like, it's organized. And people are telling me now they're in the 100-day challenge. They're emailing me. They're leaving messages in the Facebook group going, oh my gosh, you're right. Like, now when I walk in the kitchen, that space is organized. And then I move you into your bedroom, bathroom, and closet. And you may say, well, it's more important that I organize the family room because everybody is in that space, or people see that space when they come in the house. But the reason why I have you do your bedroom, closet, and bathroom next is because, number one, you're in that space every day. And if you can wake up in an organized bedroom, bathroom, and closet, like, that just starts your day off and ends your day better. But more importantly than that, there's no one to mess it up. Like, if you have a spouse, okay, maybe they mess up the bathroom and the bedroom, but they cannot possibly mess it up as fast as a 2-year-old can mess up a family room, right? So if you organize the kitchen and then you organize your bedroom, bathroom, and closet by day 42, then you have two huge areas you can go to in your home that are completely organized. And for the most part, husbands and children don't mess up those spaces. So you start to gain traction when you go to tackle the next space. Because if you can maintain the kitchen and the bedroom, closet, and bathroom, which are in your domain, then you will continue to make forward progress. So it doesn't matter how fast you move through the 100-day challenge. It just matters that you keep making incremental progress. Now, I want to address the four different phases of life that a woman goes through and some of the, you know, quicksand type areas that end up in those areas. So the first phase is the childhood phase from 0 to 21. And I really addressed this in June on the podcast when I recorded the 5 podcasts about how to organize your bedroom. So if you have a kid that doesn't have an organized bedroom and they need help organizing their bedroom, have them listen to the podcast. And then spend a weekend or a full day and go in there in the morning and maybe listen to the podcast together and do it together as you go through. Step one is going to be get rid of all the food and the trash. Like, we can do this. Step two is to get all the clothing out and start the laundry. Step three is to clean up the floor. And maybe that's all you get through in the first day with your child, but do it together and start to make progress. The quicksand type area in this childhood phase is that it takes kids a long time to learn how to organize their rooms. Like, it's not something that's going to be done in one fell swoop. It is a habit that they are learning. Plus, they're kids. Like, they're not really that excited about doing it. So you're more excited about the results. So incentivize them, like give them something for doing it. I have no problem with that. But it is worth it to train them and to do that every Saturday, get up and keep making incremental progress on their bedrooms. Now, the next phase of life is the accumulation phase. And this is when you are accumulating spouses and houses and jobs and kids. And this is 21 to around 40. It's really 21 to probably 35 for most people. The quicksand area in this phase of life is the fact that there is so much change and there's so much coming into your house, and yet you don't know if you're going to need these items later, so you can't really purge really well. Some people are really good at doing it, but very few. So you have your first baby and you get everything that goes with the baby, and then the baby's 3 months old and you have to change all of the clothes. Like, you go from the newborn to the 3 to 6 months clothes, and then 6 weeks later they're in the next size clothes. And you're constantly changing the clothes they're in. Then you start solid food. Then you start milk instead of formula. Then they're out of the bouncy seat and the extra saucer and the swing, and now they're into whatever the next thing is they're into. Like, all those big, huge, giant plastic things. But you're not going to get rid of the expensive crib and bouncy seat and all of that because you might have another baby or you're already pregnant with the next baby. And so there's just so much stuff. And it wasn't really even the stuff that bogged me down in this stage of life. My kids are 18 months apart. I was pretty good at having garage sales and selling stuff and rebuying stuff and organizing toys. And the thing that bogged me down in this stage of life was just how long the days were and how monotonous they were and how I had to do the same thing over and over and over and over again. Kids require a lot of care, Like, they require a full-time caregiver. Like, if you're not going to take care of them, you hire someone, a nanny, a babysitter, whoever. And so in this stage of life, the amount of hours a day that were devoted to just caring for my children were 80% of the hours. Like, there was not very much time for me or my business left. So what I did was I hired a nanny on Wednesdays. So on Wednesdays, somebody else took care of the kids, and I was able to focus 100% on my business on Wednesdays. That gave me mental peace of mind and an outlet for all of my productivity and ideas. It didn't help keep my house clean. The thing that helped keep my house more organized and clean was limiting where the toys were. So originally I thought the kids would come in the basement and play with me, but once I hired the nanny, I realized that the basement was my business domain, and so there weren't any kid toy things in the basement. So I could keep the basement pretty clean and orderly. So that left the first floor and then the upstairs where the bedrooms were. Our house has three bedrooms and a loft area in the upstairs. So my bedroom, I had a toy box in my room for when I was getting ready, and I actually bought more than one extra saucer. So I had one in my bedroom and I had one in the family room. That way I could always, you know, place the kids safely in an extra saucer if I needed to go to the bathroom or get a shower or go take something out of the oven. So I didn't carry my extra saucer upstairs and downstairs. I had two. Greg loves how I'm always buying multiples of things in the name of productivity. So I had some toys in my bedroom. And at that time, my bedroom was a hot mess. I mean, I just had like everything in my bedroom. The kids' rooms were pretty well organized. And then the loft was where I put toys. So there was toys and stuff all over our upstairs. And then on the first floor, we have a living room and dining room. And then we could gate off the kitchen, the eating kitchen, and the family room. Like, that could become one big playpen area. And then I have a laundry room on the first floor. So the laundry room was actually the very first room that I was able to get under control organizationally, because nobody goes in the laundry room except for me. And it was on the first floor. So if the kids were watching a TV show for 15 minutes, I could go in and keep working on organizing the laundry room. And I'm going to be honest with you, it took me 6 weeks. I remember, because I would go in and I make one change here, then I make one more change, then I make another change. And it was kind of like, well, I'm not making progress in the rest of the house. Everything looks terrible, but I'm going to keep tweaking this laundry room until it's perfect. And that's what I did. It took about 6 weeks. We did not have a dining room table when we had kids. So we gated off that dining room area, and that became a play area for a while. And when my kids, who are 18 months apart, when Abby was born, all the way until when she was probably two or three. So for a couple of years, like, the house was just a toy fest. They were all over upstairs. They were in the family room, dining room, kitchen area, because I had that all gated off. And the only area that did not have toys in it was the living room, which had nice furniture in it, but we were never in it. So the living room looked great. Everything else was like Toyville. I remember the kids were little. I think Abby was 6 months, so Joey was two. There were toys everywhere. And I had brought all of the laundry out of the laundry room, and I had this game I would play with the kids called Boop Goes the Laundry. And I would dump all of the clean laundry onto the family room floor, and then the kids could jump in it. Like, don't even. And I'd go, boop, there goes the laundry. And I would fold the laundry. It would take me forever to fold all of this laundry. So my mother-in-law shows up during this time, and she is a neatnik. And she's sitting in the one chair that does not have laundry and toys on it in the family room, looking at these kids, all these toys and all this laundry. And I looked at her and I said, well, this is what it was like when you had kids, right? And she goes, no. I was like mortified, like, oh, come on. Like, your house had to have been disorganized at some time in life. And she was like, no. And I was like, well, where were the kids' toys? She goes, in the bottom of their closets. And I was like, oh, well, mine aren't, you know. And I just had to get over it and be like, hey, look, I'm trying to run a business, raise these kids, feed everyone enough so that nobody dies. Like I am just surviving these little baby toddler stage that I don't like. And I loved my kids. I loved the stage. What I didn't like about it was the fact that every day you had to do everything. Like, you had to feed them again, and then you had to wash the clothes again. Nothing was ever done. It always had to be redone. Drove me absolutely crazy. So in that stage of life, I organized the laundry room, and I made sure no toys got in the living room. And once I finally got my kids off to preschool, which they went to preschool at the age of 3, and they went to a 5-day-a-week preschool because I wanted them in school, and then they went to all-day kindergarten. Like, my goal was to get these kids into all-day kindergarten. As soon as I could get them in another camp or another preschool, then I would start to take back one more space of the house. Because the bottom line is, if they're home all day with you, like, the house is going to be trashed. Like, they're going to play in it. The only way to have your house clean when you have little kids like that is to not be at home. Like, be at a park, be at somebody else's house, have them in daycare. Because if they're home with you all day, it's crazy. It's just crazy. All right. And I love this quote. Cleaning up after kids is like shoveling in the middle of a snowstorm. I just kept remembering that. And you know those people who say the days are long, but the years are short or whatever, and you'll look back on those days with fondness? I have 15 and 16-year-olds. I don't look back on those days with fondness. Like, the kids were absolutely adorable. I don't want to go back there ever. The next stage of life is the survival stage, which is 40 to 55. At this point, your kids... I have all my kids' stuff in their bedrooms. Like, there isn't kids' stuff anywhere else in my house. It's all in their bedrooms. I talked about that in the Kid Organizing podcast. And that's when I started organizing my own house, when I was in the accumulating phase. That's when I started the 40 days, one whole house challenge, was to regain my house after the chaos it had become in getting from the accumulation phase to the survival phase, with such chaos for me that literally every drawer was a junk drawer. I didn't even know what was in the cabinets and closets anymore. I had just let everything go just to survive. But what happens in the survival phase is that 71% of women between the ages of 40 to 55 are in the workforce. So if you're in the survival phase of life, what I define survival phase, you're working, most likely, either from home or away from home, but you have some kind of an income job. And that's just the people on a census that say that they're working. So if you're working part-time from home, but it's just, you know, a bartering thing, that's not on the census. So I think it's even higher than 71% are working. So you're working, and your kids are usually middle school, high school, college age, so you're in the car all the time driving them places or teaching them how to drive or getting them to college. And the hard thing about the survival stage is you're never home. Like, you're never home. You're working, you're taking care of the kids, you're taking care of your parents, you're out socializing, you're growing your career, and so you're rarely at home. And when you are at home, you're exhausted. Like, you've got to do the laundry and the dishes and get something to eat. And by the time that's done, there's rarely any more time physically for you to do a big home organizing project, just because you're never home. So that's your biggest thing, is not being home. How I combat that? Well, I work from home, so that helps. But this is typically when people will hire our professional organizing services, because they realize they don't have the time to do it. But if somebody would do it, they could maintain it, because they're not in that accumulating phase anymore. They don't need the stuff, but they don't have the time to get rid of the stuff. The other way people do it is they'll take a vacation from work, but they'll spend that week just decluttering and organizing their house. Or they'll do it on the weekends, or they will hire somebody to come help them, not a professional organizer, but someone else. Like, maybe their kids had a babysitter, and they'll hire the babysitter to come help them for a week to just organize the house, something like that. Then in the 55 and over category, which I'm not really sure about that time frame, that's when you're in the downsizing and legacy phase of your life. The quicksand about that phase is that there's no pressure for you to get this job done. You have all the time in the world. Now, don't yell at me. Like, I know you don't have all the time in the world, but really, yeah, you have more time in that phase of life than you did in the accumulating and the survival phases of life, for sure. You're not raising children at that point in your home. Like, you're not responsible for the dailiness of raising children. The amount of people in the workforce starts to drop off. So even if you worked during the survival phase, you may have retired or you may have gone part-time. You're not working as much. And I find the majority of people that I talk to in the downsizing and legacy phase of life, which are 65 and over, they are volunteering, they are in Bible studies, they are vacationing a lot, they are enjoying their grandchildren and doing the things they weren't able to do with them when they were in the accumulating and survival phases of life, all those things they wanted to do with their children, they're now doing with their grandchildren. And so they're spending a lot of time on making memories and preserving their legacy. But there's no get it done, or let's hurry up and get it done, or let's arrive to the end of the journey. Because they have all the time in the world. Like if they don't, I'd rather go play with the grandkids today, so I'm not going to organize the house, which is totally fine. Like definitely, definitely do that. But realize that that is part of why it's not getting done, is because there's no pressure unless you're moving or something else is happening. I want you to remember that the goal here is to have progress in your organizational journey, not perfection. You're never going to reach perfection. If you reach perfection, wait an hour. It will no longer be perfect again. So I don't say that to be depressing, but we have to get rid of this idea that we're going to get done and it's going to be perfect. It's too much pressure on you. Like it's too much stress. Why are you trying to go to an unattainable goal? And I'm a pretty high goal setter. So for me to say that tells you it's really not attainable. We just want to get better. We want to get more organized. We want to be more organized today than we were yesterday. Another thing I'm going to encourage you to do, and people have started doing this in the 100-day challenge. So if you're in the 100-day challenge Facebook group, do it over there. And if not, do it on the Organize 365 Facebook group. Post pictures of your problem areas. And everyone's coming up with these piles of things that they aren't sure if they want to purge or not. You know, when you're done organizing a room and you have this basket of stuff left that you haven't made the decisions on, post the basket of stuff. Let me walk you through the process of how to make decisions on that. Plus, I want to know what is in your basket of stuff. Like I'm starting to see some commonalities and I can address those on future podcasts if I know that everybody's getting stuck on how many potholders they need. You know what I mean? Okay, we're looking for cumulative change, not, you know, an overnight success, cumulative change. I'm trying to make sure that I've covered everything. I had a couple notes in the Facebook group I wanted to address as well. Okay, this person says, I'm not in the accumulating phase, but I do have four kids, 16 to 6. Okay, I want to address that right there. I agree. Like the accumulating phase actually is pretty small. It's whenever you get a house, a husband, kids. Like it's usually like 5 years where you accumulate a whole bunch of stuff. And then you spend the next like 10 years before you get to the survival phase where you're never at home. So even though I say it's the accumulating phase is like 20 years and the survival phase is like 15 years. That's just kind of how you use your house, not necessarily, you know what I'm saying. I had to put some kind of a delineator there. So this person says, there is so much stuff I realized I didn't use in the accumulating phase and I don't need it now, but I feel a little scared to get rid of everything I don't use, or love, because the truth is it's all a good deal of stuff. And I feel sad and scared because that phase of life is over and it makes me sad. And can you address this on the podcast? So there's a whole bunch there to unpack. Number one, getting rid of stuff is hard because we spent money on it. For the most part, what you're getting rid of, you didn't get for free. And part of the getting rid of stuff is acknowledging you maybe shouldn't have bought it to begin with. A lot of the things that I got rid of the first time I went through that challenge, I bought it, brought it into our house, and I never used it. Oh, and I remember this is one thing that really happened as I went through this challenge myself. I realized I would buy things for projects. And I guess one of my hobbies was to buy things for future projects because I probably had 20 different projects I had bought all of the stuff for and not done any of the projects. And one of the things I learned to do as I went through this 3-year cycle myself was to only buy things for a project on the day I was going to start the project. So if I wasn't going to start the project until the weekend, I wasn't allowed to buy the items for the project until the weekend. And yes, from a productivity standpoint, that cost me, you know, sometimes half an hour or an hour of productivity because I had to go to the store on the day I was going to start the project instead of grabbing it while I was already at the store. But what I found personally was sometimes by the time I got to the weekend, I would have changed my idea on what that project would be. I would have lost the motivation for what that project was, or I would have decided altogether that I didn't want to do it at all. But because I had saved time by buying the project on Tuesday when I was already at the store, now I had this bought project that I was never going to do that now I had to figure out how to get rid of. And of course, I didn't return it. Like, I never return anything. By the time I found the thing to return, I didn't have the receipt. It was way too long. Now I had to get rid of something that I paid for that I never used, I'm never going to use, but it was a financial investment. I don't know how many of you are in debt or have ever been in any kind of debt. I figure it's probably the majority because I think it's like 85% of the United States is in credit card debt. So I don't think I'm talking like to one person on the podcast. As we are digging out of our credit card debt, which yes, a lot of it was medical, you know, we were paying for medical things. So that is debt that I don't have a problem paying off. A lot of it was also these projects that I bought and I never did anything with. So not only are we decluttering stuff, we're decluttering stuff we haven't even paid for yet because it's on a credit card. And this is depressing. It's very, very depressing. But step one in paying off debt is to stop buying stuff, stop adding to the debt. And then you've just got to get another job, make more money, lower the interest rates, make double payments, and slowly over time, pay off this debt. We racked it up over 7 years and it's taking us forever to pay it off. Like, it's very depressing how long it's taking to pay off this credit card debt. The same is true with your house. You bought these things, maybe you shouldn't have bought them, whatever. They're in your house now. Like, we can't take it back. We don't have time machines. We can't go backwards. We can't return it. So our only options are to A, do the project, but if you wanted to do the project, you would have done it. You're not going to do that. B, try to resell it. Or C, just say, okay, I forgive myself. Move on. Give it away. I'm done. I'm not going to do that project. I won't do it again. So going forward, don't buy stuff until you can actually do it. And then, okay, it's 20 projects. It's $2,000 in money that you shouldn't have spent. You did it. It's done. Forgive yourself. Move on. Because as long as we keep the stuff in our house, every time you walk by that pile, every time you see that item, you hear this dialogue in your head and it says, see, you buy the stuff and you never do it and you can't be trusted with money and where are you going to put me? And okay, you paid $15 for me, but maybe if you put me on Craigslist, you could get $3 back for me, but you still lost $12. Oh my gosh, like stop it. Once you get rid of the stuff, it stops talking to you. It's not there to talk to you. I mean, maybe the $15 is still on your credit card, but the only way to get rid of that is to pay it off. Couple of options you can do. Number one, try to get the money back for it. I'll give you this challenge. You get 10 days. Well, this podcast is on a Friday. All right, you get 14 days. You get 2 weeks. That's all you get. The first Friday in August or July 30th or whenever you listen to this, 2 weeks from now, you have to have a garage sale. So your job is to take every single thing in your house that you think is worth anything over $3, put it in your garage, price it, have the garage sale on a Friday morning, start it at 8, be done at 11, load up your car with everything that's left, drive it to Goodwill, get the tax deduction. I mean, I don't know any other way to do it. If you think it has some value, do it that way. And when people offer you less, take it. When people would say to me at my garage sale, what would you take for this? I'll say, what would you offer? And whatever they said, I took it, except for one item. I took it because otherwise it's going to Goodwill and I'm giving it away for free, right? And the whole point is to get it all out of my house and only so much will fit in my car at any one time. And I didn't want to have to take things to Goodwill. I wanted them gone. So when we just had our garage sale this week, I made $400. I made $70. Joey made over 200 and Abby made a little over 100. So that was great. He got all the paintball stuff he wanted. She went out and got new shoes and I still don't have enough money to move the exercise equipment. But I had spending money for the kids is basically what I did. And they liked it. And oh my gosh, so much stuff left our home. And I did get rid of more things from the garage sale. Obviously, I thought my house was already purged and I clearly found plenty of stuff to have for a garage sale, right? So have a garage sale. Go through all of the emotions of, oh, I wish I hadn't spent that money. Try to get back and be done. I don't like selling on eBay and Craigslist because it takes so much more time. Like, you have to list it, and then you have to update it, and then you have to talk to all the people that want to buy it, and then you either have to meet them or you have to ship it. If you need to earn the money, if you have the time to do it, do it. But for me, the emotional stress of living with the clutter for the potential $5 or $10 I was going to get for selling it was not worth it. Living without the clutter and the freedom and not having to look for things anymore is well worth the cost of not having recouped that money. Okay, the second thing in that statement was, she's sad about the phase of life is over. I am a very forward-thinking person. I actually am very bad at remembering the past because I'm always thinking about what's next and I'm always moving forward. So I typically don't have any regrets going backwards. A couple of things. One, kids are super duper cute and like everything they do when they're little is super fun. And yeah, wouldn't you like to go back there and not have the responsibilities, but just to play with your kids when they were little again, or hold them one more time, or give them a bottle of milk and read them their story? Like, that was such a precious, fun time. I 100% agree with you. But your kids are also in a really super fun stage right now. And there are things that they can do now that they couldn't do then and they won't do in the future. So instead of thinking about, oh, I really like that stage, I'm really missing that stage, look at the age your kids are now and think, what fun thing could you do right now that would be a memory that you'll have going forward? So I think this person said that their kids were ages 6 to 16. So I have a 16-year-old. That's a sophomore or junior in high school. So you only have a few more years where these kids are really all at home under your roof again. So what I would do is I would take all of that stuff and I would have a garage sale with them. They are the perfect ages for this. They will totally clean out their rooms way more. And 6 is a great age. 6 means they're going to kindergarten or first grade, I think, usually first grade. And for everyone, that means all day school. So when your youngest child goes to all day school is a transition for a woman. She's getting some of her life back. Yes, she's losing those baby years and her kids are becoming more independent. So this is a great time for all those kids to clean out the room and have this garage sale with you. They'll be able to earn some money too. And then before you have the garage sale, I want you to make a list of 3 things you're going to do this summer with the money that you get from the garage sale. Maybe you're all going to go to the movies together. Maybe you're all going to go out to a favorite restaurant. And maybe you're going to take a road trip, maybe an hour or 90 minutes away to go to a park or do an overnight camping thing or go to a children's museum. Or maybe there's some kind of thing that's close to you. Like, so I live in Cincinnati, and when I was a kid, I went to COSI, which is in Columbus, and it is a science center. That would be a really fun thing to do with my kids, to get the money, drive the 2 hours to Columbus, go to COSI, spend the day, and come back. So when you think about getting rid of this stuff and getting the money for it, and then spending that money on making new memories with your kids from their stuff, I remember when my kids were little, and I would constantly be selling their toys and their baby clothes. And I had this guilt of selling their toys that they were given when they were born or for birthdays because they were given to them, but I was getting the money when I sold it. So I kind of had this weird guilt thing of like, I should give the kids the money, but they were 12 months. Like, what were they going to do with the money, right? And so I thought to myself, these items are my kids' items. So the money is theirs, but I'm the mom that gets to decide how to spend it. So like if I sold all of their toys and then went out and bought myself a new wardrobe, not a good use of the money. Although do that if you're okay with it. So what I would do is I would sell all their toys and clothes and then I would sign them up for a museum membership the next year. Or I would use that money for a pool deposit. Or I would use that money for our trip to Florida for them and new clothes that they needed. So look at those things that you are selling and getting rid of from the accumulating phase. As people have made an investment in your kids and you are recouping the investment and reinvesting it back into your kids in another way, in some kind of a membership or thing that the whole family can enjoy. All right, I think I covered that. This is probably a little bit longer of a podcast, but you know, I try to be so positive and motivational and give you the next step to take, but I do think there is value in just understanding reality. Like, life can be hard. And this organizing thing is not easy. It's very emotional. It's very lonely. And your family isn't always 100% on board with what you're doing. And so you feel like you're, you know, battling uphill, you and the family and the house. And is it worth it? And it is worth it. It is worth it. So go into the Facebook group, comment, make any posts, email me, lisa@organize365.com. Tell me what you're thinking, what helps you, what doesn't help you, what you'd like to hear in more of these podcasts. Okay, going forward, I want to tell you about a couple of changes that are coming to the podcast. I've been thinking about this a long time because I tend to make really quick decisions and then go, oh, was that the right decision? So I've been thinking about this one for a while. So a couple of months ago, actually, I think it was 6 months ago, I had decided that this next upcoming school year, 2016 and 17, would be the year of productivity. So what happens after you get your house organized and your paper organized? How about organizing you and your productivity and your time? And I realized that I love to talk to people about this, but I haven't really talked about it on the podcast or blog very much. And as a teacher, I want to have like a plan, like if you're going to follow me, that you will be successful and that I could teach this to you in a logical manner where you will be able to incorporate the ideas. And the bottom line is that time and productivity organization is really nebulous and can be different for different people in different phases of life. You will have access to the digital option in September for free. So you will automatically be in the program in September. It will be very similar to the 100-day challenge that I have now, only it will be for paper. And you'll be able to click on all the different weeks of organizing your paper and go through that. All right, a couple more podcast changes. Next week, I'm going to start week one of the Productivity Podcast. That will be going on Fridays every other week. So next week will be week one. And then the week after, I'll do a podcast on who knows what. And then the week after that, it'll be Productivity Podcast 2. And then the week after, some other random podcast. And then the week after, Productivity Podcast 3. In addition to that change, starting the last weekend in August, I think, is when the 40 Weeks One Whole House free challenge will start over again. And because I have recorded over 100 podcasts, it's getting harder to get back to podcast one to do the 40 Weeks One Whole House free challenge from the podcasts in the podcast player. So I will be republishing those same old podcasts on Mondays. So starting in the end of August, on Mondays, you'll get a podcast, 40 Weeks One Whole House, week one. Then on Friday, you'll get a productivity podcast. Then the next week, on Monday, you'll get 40 Weeks, One Whole House, week two. And then that Friday, you'll get an organizational podcast on whatever I want it to be. And then, so you'll get two podcasts a week starting at the end of August. And the final thing I'll say is on August 28th, my book is launching. I don't have a title yet. That's what I have to figure out as soon as I stop this podcast. And we're getting the book design done in the next 2 weeks as well. So if you would like to follow along on this book being created journey, if you would like to give me your input on titles and book covers and all that, head on over to the Organize 365 Facebook group, because that's where I post all of those book titles and book cover options will be up there next week. And then I have you guys vote so you can come help me with what the title and the design of this book will be. But I've got to get off this podcast because my editor tonight would like the final of my rough draft so she can start editing it. If you guys follow me at all, you know I need a lot of editing. So there's a lot of new stuff coming to the Organize 365 page. I'm going to redesign the site a little bit to make it easier, especially in these different membership groups. I hope this really helped you, give you perspective, make you feel okay about where you are in your journey, that you're making progress, you're doing a great job, you are getting more organized, but it's not an easy road. It's not a start here, end here, and there's no stopping. You know that game Chutes and Ladders where you'd start going, oh, you landed on this and you had to slide down the slide and you're further back than you thought you would be? Well, there are also ladders, you know, and there will be times in your life, in your week, where you just make super duper progress in your organization. Like if you've made the Sunday basket, I know a lot of you have told me like that has revolutionized the way that you do paper and your weekly to-do management. And you just feel so much more on top of mail and paper anytime it comes in. That's a ladder that helped you go higher on the journey. But maybe your kids were sick like every day for 3 weeks straight and you slid down the slide. Just keep going. Keep going. Eventually, we're going to get to the end together. Have a great week. Are you ready to get your house organized? Take the 100-day home organization challenge with daily organizational assignments, daily videos of those spaces organized in my home, weekly printable checklists, and more. Sign up at www.organize365.com/100-days.